Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The book of Genesis raises a number of very important questions, especially those first several chapters. And the answers to those questions are very, very foundational for the Christian and the Christian faith. So let me just share with you some of those questions. The first one is a question of origin. In other words, who made this earth and the universe? What or who brought it about? And of course, there's different answers depending on the religion or worldview or ideology you subscribe to. Some of the answers are somewhat similar. There's even some similarity between Islam and Christianity and Judaism and Christianity, but there's differences there too. But the bottom line for the Christian religion and the biblical worldview is that there's one eternal true God beyond time and space, beyond the universe, who actually made this universe. Second question, how? And that's clearly answered in our text. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And this we find repeated throughout that first chapter in Genesis. Then God said, and it was so. Then God said, and it was so. Then God said, and it was so. In other words, in 6 normal days, God, by his powerful word, created. To put it another way, God spoke to nothing, and nothing became something. God spoke to nothing, and then nothing became all of creation. 6 normal days. Now, it's here that some people have a real problem with Genesis chapter 1, even those who are religiously minded, even some Christians, and they'll say, no, it couldn't have happened this way. It's impossible. And so they want to give it the Bible some credit still, so they say, well, this is a myth, which has some meaning for us. Well, it can't be a myth. It can't be a myth for a number of reasons. Here's just 2 of the reasons. Number one, it's not written in mythological language. But also, when the word day here is used, it's qualified. There's evening and morning, day 1. Evening, morning, 2, 3, 4. So those words make it very clear that this is talking about a real event, a normal 24-hour day. So a better explanation would be, since it's not mythological language, since it's meant to be a literal 24-hour day, either it's recording true history in time and space, or whoever wrote this down is recording what is not true. Those are really the 2 alternatives when it comes to Genesis chapter 1. Third question, why? Why did this infinite, personal, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, why did he create this earth and this universe? Well, we might have to wait for a very complete answer until we get to heaven, but we could also say this is just the way this God is. This infinite, personal, triune God is a personal God who loves to create. He's personal within himself. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They relate to each other. They're very personal with one another. But then the same infinite personal God also created the universe and the world. And he was very personally involved. And he created, this personal God created very personal beings. The ultimate creation of his was this Adam and Eve. And they were created to be personal as well. to have this personal fellowship with God and to have this personal fellowship with each other. It's just a beautiful understanding of what really took place in the beginning. But then the fourth question is, what went wrong? Well, Adam and Eve went wrong. And they rebelled. And the consequences were probably incomprehensible at that time. But the fellowship with God was severed. Sin was brought into the world. Death came into the world. That was passed on from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. And hopefully that's one of the primary reasons you are here, because you understand what went wrong. Fifth question. Is there a solution? And if so, what is that solution, and does that solution work? And this is where God gets personal beyond anyone's comprehension. It's where he displays his love that is beyond our human comprehension. The second person of the triune God takes on flesh, our human flesh. And then he lived among us. Personal. And as he lived among us, he showed us the full extent of the Father's love. He said that that severed fellowship with God, I'll make that my own. That sin, I'll take it upon myself. That death, I will pay it. And thus, the cross. But then he's raised from the dead. He ascends to his Father in heaven. And the Father and the Son together send that third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, whose role is to bring to us and bestow upon us that very personal, loving, finished work of Christ. But then we can ask another question. How do we know that it works for us? How do you know it works for you? And to answer that, we go back to the second question. How? How did God create all that exists? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be, and it was so. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. You may recall when Jesus in the New Testament had this paralytic brought down before him. And the first thing he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. But people didn't like that. So Jesus said, in order that you may know that I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and go home. And so it was. Who is this man? Or recall when Jesus was out on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples, he was asleep in the stern of the boat, and his disciples were thinking they were all going to die, so they woke Jesus up and they said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And it was so. And then the disciples asked the question, who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this? Well, it's the same one who back in Genesis 1 said, let there be light, and it was so. One of the beautiful reasons we have Genesis chapter 1 is so that you might know the power of the Word of God. That you might know when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When he says to you, I am your light. I am your peace with God. I am your forgiveness. I am your atonement. I am your righteousness. I am your holiness. I am your shepherd. I am your rock. I am your salvation. I am your eternal life. It is so that you might know when he says these things to you, you know they are a reality right now, right here. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. It is so. Amen. Please rise. Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. Glorious now we press toward glory, and our lives, our hopes confess. From the cross thy wisdom shining, breaking forth in conquering night. From the cross forever beaming, all thy bright redeeming light. Alleluia, without end. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.